Shavua Tov, wishing everyone a wonderful week. Mishnah Yomi is in Chapter 11 of Nedarim, the second Mishnah. Now, yesterday we started talking about Nedarim, vows of Inui Nefesh, self-affliction. And we saw that Rabbi Yossi was of the opinion that it had to be a pretty significant self-affliction. Mere discomfort, such as not bathing that day, was not bad enough. So now Mishnah Bet picks up with Rabbi Yossi explaining his opinion, Ve'eluhem nidrei inui nefesh. And these are what I consider vows of self-affliction. Amra, a woman says, Konam peirot ha'olam alai. I am banning through force of neder all of the produce of the world. Hare ze yachol lahafer. Behold, this one, the husband or the father, may annul. This would be significant distress on a person if they cannot eat. Peirot medina alai. So what if she said, the produce of this one country is forbidden to me? So then what happens? Yavila medina acheret. The husband or the father should bring her produce from a different country. So that might be more of a schlep, is the technical scientific term. It's more of a schlep. But we saw in the last Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says a little bit of a schlep, a little bit of discomfort, is not considered inui nefesh. What if she says, peirot henvani ze alai, the produce of this shopkeeper, of this grocery store, is forbidden to me, eino yachol lachafer. The husband or father cannot cancel this vow, they'll just go to a different grocery store. Ve'im, but if, lo haita parnasato ele memenu, if his only source of parnasa, his only food supply, is from this grocery store or this shopkeeper, a specific makola that she's banned, hare zayafer. So the man could annul the neder, divrei Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi Yossi. Now the other sages in Mishnah Aleph would disagree and say even a minor discomfort, a schlep, as the term is enough inui nefesh to annul and undo the vow. Now on to Mishnah Gimel, Konam, a ban, she'eni nehene lebriot. She says, I will not benefit from any other people. Interestingly, eino yachol lahafer, the father or the husband cannot annul the neder. Now the Mefarshim point out, she's not including the husband or the father in briot. Briot usually means creations or people, but he's not considered other people. So since she could still deal with her husband or father and be supported through the man in her life, she doesn't truly need other people, and he cannot nullify this neder. And the Mishnah adds, v'yacholahi, and she's also able, lahanot b'leket shechopeya, to take the portions of the crop that are left ownerless. Now leket, if we recall way back in Zerayim, we talked about this. Leket is stalks that drop during the harvest. Shicha is stalks that are forgotten on the field after the harvest. And peya is a corner of the field that's purposefully left unharvested for poor and needy to come and harvest and take for themselves. Now since these items are not owned by the, even though the man owns the field, but she can still take them because they're considered ownerless. Now, what if she makes a different vow? The Mishnah adds, Konam Kohanim Levim, Nehanim Li. She now bans any Kohanim, anyone from the, you know, anyone named Cohen, or not just named Cohen, but anyone of that lineage, Levim, and also the Levites, from having benefit from her. Now, this is going to be a problem if she owns a field or an orchard, and she has to separate Truma and Miser. Of course, Truma Gedola, the first 2% tithe goes to the Kohanim. And Maaser Rishon, that first 10% tithe, goes to the Levim. So what will the Kohanim and Levim do with her Truma and Maaser? Yitzlu al Kurcho. They may take it, even against the will of the vower. But if the person making the vow, man or woman alike, says Kohanim Elu, these specific Kohanim, or Levim Elu, these specific Levim Nehenim Li, they are banned from having any benefit from me, Yitzlu Acherim. So other Kohanim should take the Truma Gedola, different Levim should take the Maaser Rishon. So as long as someone from the correct Shevet is taking the correct tithe, the mitzvah is being done, even if certain Kohanim had been excluded. And we've seen in other contexts, there's even something called Tovas Hana, Tovat Hana, sort of the right to give one's tithes is considered a potential financial benefit. So there is some value in being able to give your tithes to a specific Kohen or a specific Levi. You could even imagine a situation where there's a man who's a Yisrael, and his daughter married a Kohen. So now he has his grandson, the Kohen, and he might actually pay someone, you know, cash money to give his truma to his grandson, the Kohen. So that's Tovat Hana. There is some sort of benefit, some value in being able to give your tithes to the Kohen or Levi that you wish.
Yishar kochachem, shavua tov, and a good vach.